Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
But I just want to welcome you to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. If this is your first time here, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. On this program, Spike Lee is getting some backlash for using Kickstarter, you know, the fundraising site for a new movie that he's doing. And he's not really telling the details of it, but we have that story. Jay-Z or Sean Carter versus Harry Belafonte. Now, I know we had one of our first shows, actually, was a black-on-black crime show about those two, but since there's still some more comments, I thought we'd put this to rest and talk about them and their kind of retractions a little bit towards each other. We have our new segment, thanks to Lavinia, Uncle Ruckus Watch. This is today's Uncle Ruckus Watch. It's going to feature CNN's Don Lemon. He said some stuff that he needs to woosah about. And we also will play a little bit from Daniel's assessment of Fruitvale Station. You know, we're just going to talk about the character development a little bit in one of our breaks. So we have that and a lot more. So, I want to welcome you to Black on Black Crime. If you missed last week's show, you can always catch us in the archives. Or if you missed this week's show and you want to catch it in the archives, you can catch us at www.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. Okay? You can go to soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. Or you can just check us out on EspriRadio.SoloSyracuse.com and check out all our shows that's on Espri Radio. Now, last week's show, we talked about actress Ray Dawn Chong versus Oprah Winfrey. Timbaland and Keri Hilson teamed up and created an apology song for Jay-Z and Beyonce. And last week's Uncle Ruckus Watch was Tavis Smiley's, you know, presidential hating tweet again, because those guys are always committing black-on-black crimes. But that was last week's show. You can check us out in the archives. That's solarsyracuse.com/BOBC or espriradio.solarsyracuse.com. You can email us also during the week at BOBC@solarsyracuse.com if you have some interesting topics that you want us to discuss or you just have some comments that you want to make. Now, as we get started on the show, as always, some regular entertainment news. Now, Southland, if you watch that show, has been canceled. It was on TNT, I think it was. Yeah, it was TNT. And Regina King has signed up to return to that CBS hit comedy Big Bang Theory. Since Southland is canceled, her character on Big Bang Theory is the director of employee relations at a university where one of the main characters works. So Regina King is going back to Big Bang Theory. Former NFL quarterback Donovan McNabb, and I must run a disclaimer, and a friend of mine, will officially retire from football. His number will be retired in Philadelphia and at Syracuse University. Number 5 is off the table for everyone, so Donovan McNabb did retire, or he will retire, coming up at the beginning of the season. Now, Moms Mabley, I got something to tell you from the first-time director, Whoopi Goldberg, has a premiere date on HBO. Goldberg is executive producer of the documentary, and it will exclusively appear on HBO November 18th in primetime. I don't know what time specifically they didn't name it, probably around 8, but they have a date of November 18th. Now, if you're not familiar with this, the film Goldberg explores Mabley's legacy through recently unearthed photographs, rediscovered performance footage, and the words of numerous celebrities, comedians, entertainers, and historians, including Eddie Murphy, Joan Rivers, Sidney Poitier, Harry Belafonte, Bill Cosby, Quincy Jones, Jerry Stiller, and Ann Mirren. So check that out, November 18th. Mom Mabley is coming back. And, you know, although we're going to talk about Jay-Z a little bit later, he actually revealed that after the Zimmerman verdict that he had insomnia after hearing of the verdict. Now, he said, now this is his quote, "This effing mall cop," is what how he described Zimmerman. He said, "I was really angry. I didn't sleep for 2 days. I was really angry about it. We all knew that there was still a bit of racism in America, but for it to be so blatant, if you just ask the question, ask yourself, did Trayvon have the right to stand his ground? He was being chased. He was being chased and fought back. You know, he may have won. Does that mean that he's a criminal? He won. If you try to attack me and I defend myself, how can I be wrong? How is that right? This guy went to get some candy, came back to watch the All-Star game. He had plans. He had no intention of robbing anyone." So that was Jay-Z's comment recently after an interview about how he felt after the Zimmerman verdict. So we'll have to see how that plays in the bigger picture. But first up, let's go to Lavinia. How are you, Lavinia?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good. See, you're the first one on tap again. I don't know if I told you last week, I didn't send out my warnings to those guys about what was on the show, and there was all sorts of problems. All sorts of chaos broke loose. So, but, you know, that happens. That happens. And plus,
good. We held it down last week.
There you go. I must say, you know, I did see your post, Great Minds Think Alike, because we both thought of the Uncle Ruckus watch of Don Lemon.
Mm. Why? Why do you have to go there?
Oh, yeah. We are going to start off the show with Uncle Ruckus watch. You know that, right? I was
going to have
to.
You just got to get out of your system.
Yeah, because I was going to use that later in the show, and I said, no, you know what, we're just going to – he may take up the whole show is why I didn't want to start with him, but Uncle Ruckus' watch is officially – well, there are so many people who can have that. Tavis had it last week. We could have been the Cornel West last week and the week before that and the week before that, so –
yeah, but Cornell didn't act out until after Tavis acted out first. See, we had already given Tavis the spotlight, and then the very next day he came out.
Then he
might have to share the spotlight. Yeah, they might have to share it this week. We got two. We got Ruckeye.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to bring in a little something extra for them. That is always a problem when you feel like you have to say something on behalf of black – well, you're not even saying it on behalf of black folks. You're just kind of saying it. Our main topic, we're going to talk about Spike Lee. I know people have a lot of Spike Lee haters. And so since social media has been going a little crazy about the Kickstarter campaign that Spike Lee put up for one of his new films, I want to talk about that and kind of give you some Spike Lee insight and stop all the hating. That just don't make no sense. And – of course, we have the Harry Belafonte, Jay-Z saga again. I guess I should say that with a little less sarcasm. We have – you didn't take that as sarcastic, did you?
No. We know what it is.
It's a little tiring. Oh, and by the way, I forgot this part because I keep forgetting to add this into the program. BET has acquired the off-network's rights of the ABC show Scandal, created by Shonda Rhimes, starring Kerry Washington. So BET will air the first two seasons of the show, and then we'll do the new seasons, the third seasons. I'm trying to think. I think they have to run them. They can't air any sooner than 8 days after the first episode runs on ABC. So Anyway, instead of creating new shows, they just buy everybody else's old ones.
Well,
but they have the right to
Scandal. They know it works. Well, they know Scandal works. Like, when they try to do stuff, it doesn't quite, you know.
That's why we have so many sequels, though. I mean, Hollywood does this, where you're going to see every move, Superman 19, like every, there's a bunch of sequels because nobody wants to take a chance on original work.
Yeah, I noticed that, like, with the Batman, I just saw, I think, saw one of the other Batmans. I stopped watching the different Batman movies after the George Clooney Batman. That just did me in. So after that, I said, you know what, no more Batmans. I don't care how many different people play them. I'm not doing it.
Indiana Jones was played by Harrison Ford for the last, like, 40 years. But you got 9 Batmans, and I think I have a problem with that. I just can't keep them straight. That's just me. They can't even keep straight Catwoman, so I don't really know. That's kind of – if the main character can't stay straight, that got to be a bigger problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to check that. All right, let's break on Finesse. What's going on, Finesse, as you hear us complaining about the retread of sequels in Hollywood? Lavinia and I just had to start off with that.
Well, good afternoon. So are you asking me my opinion? As a fan of comic books, the big difference is that they actually got the last few Batmans right. Batman was a dark character. So there's a totally difference than when they did the superhero movies back then. Now, even though I liked those Batman were the first two. But these Batmans were really on point, just like the Superman was really good. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a Superman-Batman movie coming up in 2015.
I think that's what Lavinia was talking about.
2015.
Superman.
I can't wait, because that was a comic book. That was actually a comic book. I can't wait to see that.
I'm just waiting for Thundercats. If I get Thundercats, I'll be happy.
You know, that has been in the works since probably 1998. When I see it, I'll believe it.
I guess there's a reason why Hollywood is doing sequels if you guys are looking forward to it. But that's been a knock on Hollywood, that it just keeps retreading because it doesn't want to take a chance on anything. It just kind of says if you don't have known characters to the audience, you could just plug in actors into them, but we don't have to create new storylines if we just kind of use already established characters. You would think that would run old. And that's why you have so many bad sequels, by the way.
Well, I mean, but the reason why you have these films because there's different characters, you know. So they're not actually, you know, I did not agree with the Spider-Man one because I didn't think they had to reboot it, but they took it back to high school. So, and I actually went, it was okay, but it's nothing like the first two Spider-Man. I didn't even like Spider-Man 3 because it is a dark character, but what Hollywood does is that they try to tell the director what they're doing. They have too many characters. So it becomes, instead of a storyline, it's crowded. So we'll see. And go from there. I know new Transformers comes out next summer, new Spider-Man this summer, Star Wars, I believe, 2015.
Iron Man, the Avengers.
The Avengers is not going to be the Avengers 2. It's going to be named something else, but I can't wait. I can't wait.
Okay.
I didn't like the one that came out Thor and Hulk.
Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Don't talk about them.
Okay, I won't talk about it.
She's like, oh, no. Another
I done got them upset now.
Yeah, don't talk about my comic book.
See, I was going to say, I'm not familiar with the comic book version of that now, so I have to leave Avengers alone. But I was looking because Robert Downey Jr., as you guys probably already know, he grossed more than $500 million worldwide, and he was ranked, like, number one this year of making $75 million between June 2012 and 2013. So he was the highest-paid Hollywood actor, one of the most troubled people probably in Hollywood. But I guess he got his stuff straight now, making $75 million in a year. But it was just, they were just saying the worldwide box office is $500 million just for Iron Man.
Well, I think
Iron Man and Avengers.
Well, I think what happens when people get pissed off is, you know, they say, well, a character is either outgrown or they don't want to pay the actor. Like, there's a big debate now with Robert Downey Jr. is going to come back. He'll be in the next Avengers, of course. But then after that, when it's time for the next Iron Man, will he be there? So then people get mad because Hollywood says, oh, we need to reboot it. We need to reboot it. No, you don't. Just come up with good storylines. Like, there's the biggest thing with the Hulk movie, the first one was horrible. You can look at see how horrible they did with the green screen. But the second one was great. Now
there
they're
was
talking
a
about
one?
Yeah, there was a second one. The second one was great, and they're talking about now rebooting that because the first one still made money. Don't get me wrong, but it was horrible because it's not what people expected. So now they talk about rebooting it, but they don't have to because they made good on the Hulk and the Avengers. So just move forward. But you can't tell Hollywood nothing. You know, we don't know nothing.
Right.
I guess I better watch the first one thing so I can see what to compare it to, because I don't even think I've seen the first one.
And look, if they ain't giving Spike Lee money to make some movies, they sure enough ain't going to give me none. So you can hang that up, me making a movie as well.
Oh, well, we already know where this is going because we're talking about Spike Lee a little later and why he's going to Kickstarter. But we also have a preview of Old Boy, which I hear is probably going to be a pretty good movie as well. So we'll check that out. We'll take a quick little news break. We're going to come back. Finesse, while you were gone, Lavinia named our Uncle Ruckus Watts, and that's going to be Don Lemon from CNN when we come back. We're going to talk about how he can get it. I'm sorry. Uncle Ruckus Watts next on Black Crime. Call in at area code 909-265-9189. We'll be back.
Oh, those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 92nd News Break. Ratings agency Moody's has upgraded its outlook for the U.S. credit rating, citing a decline in the budget deficit. The agency lifted its outlook to stable from negative. It said the U.S. economy was growing at a faster rate compared with several AAA peers. In his first comments after the case involving Trayvon Martin, President Obama said very few black men in the U.S. had not experienced racial profiling. The president said the pain that African Americans felt around the case came from the fact that they viewed it through a set of experience and history that doesn't go away. The only minority on the jury that found George Zimmerman not guilty of second-degree murder of killing 17-year-old Trayvon Martin sat for an exclusive interview with Robin Roberts. Now, juror B29 said she was sorry for letting Sabrina Fulton down. She thought no one cared about her son. I do care, but I could not do anything about it. I feel like I let them down. The juror also apologized. Black Entertainment Television disabled a Facebook fan page for its show The Game after a woman who set it up and runs it refused to sell it to the station. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for EspritNet News on ACN.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, hanging out with Finesse and Lavinia. We are about to talk about our Uncle Ruckus Watts. Okay, now, just in case you just tuned in, today's show, our main topics are going to be Spike Lee. We're talking about all the backlash that he's getting from the Kickstarter campaign that he started to finance the film. And we're going to talk a little bit about one of our earlier Black on Black Crime segments from earlier in the year. You know, we're almost on our year anniversary in shows, Finesse. Did you know that? We're almost a year. We started in August. So we're coming to that. Yeah, and so we're going to talk about the Harry Belafonte and Jay-Z. We're going to try to get that straight so that we don't have to talk about that no more, if anybody kind of remembers that. Before we get started, hey, Lavinia. How are you? She's a little quiet.
I'm here. I'm
okay. Just wait.
I said, I'm just waiting.
Oh, shit.
I'm just going to go ahead and hold back and just kind of wait.
She's
going to wait to jump in.
She's stalking us. Yeah, you and Vanessa are kind of twins like that. When there's a topic coming up, y'all will sit quiet until you get to go off on what you need to go off on. So,
you know why?
She's like, nope.
Because nobody want to be muted all during the show, so we want to be muted.
Oh, is that why? I am not that mean. Because she was like, I'm not saying nothing. Where's Uncle Ruckus? This is bring me Uncle Ruckus.
Bring me the Ruckus.
All right. So on that note, we should start that with a little Boondocks intro, right?
We have a Boondocks intro.
Here we go.
I am the song that the builder refused. I am the visual, the inspiration that make ladies see the blues. I'm the spark that makes your idea bright. The same spark that lights the dark so that you can know your left from your right. I am the ballad in your box, the bullet in the gun, the inner glow that lets you know to call your brother son. The story that just begun, the promise of what's to come, and I will remain a soldier till the war is won.
Now, today, for our CNN anchor Don Lemon this weekend defended Fox News host Bill Riley's remarks about crime in the African-American community. He said the disintegration of the family. Now, Lemon said in his commentary on CNN, and he said the conservative pundit didn't go far enough. In my estimation, he doesn't go far. He said also, before going on to list five tips for Black America to improve their living situation, starting with an entree of young African Americans stop letting their pants sag for fashion choice, walking around with your, and he said the A word, and your underwear showing is not okay. He said, in fact, it comes from prison, which we all know, when they take your belts away and all of that other stuff. He said, I'm not going into the depth of what he said because he said something about it had to do something with prison sex. So I'm taking that part out because Lemon, he did cross the line in that. I don't know who he was entertaining on CNN, but he did add that in there. He said, I've lived in several predominantly white communities in my life. I rarely, if ever, witness people littering. I live in Harlem now. It's a historical Black neighborhood. Every single day I see adults, children dropping their trash on the ground when the garbage can is just feet away. He said, just be honest here. This is Don Lemon. So I don't know who to let go first on this because I feel like going. Lavinia, you can go first. We know you're going to cuss out, but Finesse may curse out next. But you can go. Go ahead.
Where do I start with Nephew Don? First of all, I don't know if maybe his grandmama never told him. I know my grandmama told me, you don't talk about family business outside of family. So considering it's CNN, who did he think that he was talking to with his quote-unquote tips on how to make Black life better? Whoever it is that he thought he was talking to, he wasn't talking to them because he was on CNN. So that's the first problem. The second problem is, why the hell are you even co-signing on anything that Bill O'Reilly has to say about Black people? Because believe, whether you think so or not, he's talking about you, nephew. You.
Exactly.
You are part, you are in the group. You might try to separate yourself from the group, but collectively, he's talking about you and your brothers and your cousins and all the other people you want to separate yourself from. Can I pass the torch? Let me pass for a minute. Just pass the torch for a minute because I need to collect my thoughts. Because that just made me. I don't know. Like, I could get that out clearly. But, and then when he went into the whole thing about jail and with your ass hanging out, and that's what it means, yeah. And, you know, the lower your pants are hanging, that's who's on top and who's on.
Who
like,
needed
really,
that description
dude?
On
like,
CNN?
Okay, that's on the next channel over, MSNBC, every Friday and Saturday night, all day. You can learn about the sagging. We don't need you for that.
She is not committed Black on Black crime today. Finesse, you're up, because I'm going to let her go with that. You're up.
I'm not even, amazingly, I'm not even going to commit a Black on Black crime. I'm shocked.
You can say nothing.
She took it all from me, so I'm like, good now.
I mean, I'm so used to us acting like, what was that character in the Django that was with, you know,
Sam Jackson?
Selling, Yeah, Sam Jackson's character. I'm so used to it now that I'm selling out that, you know, it doesn't surprise me when I hear somebody. My thing is if you're in black media and you say it amongst black media, that's one thing. But when you co-sign for somebody that's...
You know it's racist.
Yeah, and it's like, are you serious? You know, at what point? So he lost a lot of credibility with me, and he's free to say whatever. And I don't agree with... I don't get, and the same thing with the Zimmerman thing, you know, with the, you know, the Charles Barkley and these other ones. You can have that opinion. There's nothing wrong with the opinion, but you don't go on those networks to state that, because what you're doing is now you're giving them validation to keep saying and doing more ignorant stuff. So I'm not surprised. It is what it is. I'm just surprised that Don, who is somebody I respect in his business, would do that. Somebody needs to pull his coattails.
This ain't his first time acting out.
Right. You know,
this is the first time hearing anything like that from him.
For him to go on CNN and say, "I want to say this to black people," is crazy.
Who probably ain't watching?
Well, who would not watch it? And plus, you look at all the stuff that's happening. I can't remember what it was that you just recently posted, Finesse. Oh, that someone, the white parents who killed their child and blamed it on some black kids. We give them validation to make it easier to believe that black folks are just off the grid. When black people start validating garbage, it gives an impression. So from him doing that, he's given an impression.
Right, right. And that's my biggest thing is we give them the right to say and do whatever. I posted a story in another room, and someone said to me, you know, I can't believe that this happened. And I basically said the same thing you just said, Rome, is like, if you allow this stuff to constantly happen, then that's what it's going to be. So, it's just unbelievable. But it's, you know, wow.
Well, and I always say that's a part of what Black on Black Crime is to make sure that we're not pushing out that same bull, because even if we can criticize each other, which we do and can, and it's perfectly within our rights to do that, when we start giving an impression like it's a norm, that's a problem. That's a problem. And on that note, let's bring in Daniel. Yeah, what's going on, brother?
Not much. How y'all doing? I caught the tail end, so I don't know if I can give a good synopsis of feeling. I'm shocked that he would say something like that. I don't know if he didn't have his morning coffee or was sipping out of somebody else's drink. Who knows what was going on with him, especially when he did the special on the N-word. Seemed like he was more or less in our corner. So I really don't know where he went afoul of the truth or the direction of our community. So I can't really comment any more than that.
Well, let me help you with this. He said, "I lived in a predominantly white community," but we don't know if it's a predominantly white trailer park or predominantly white rich area, which is a totally big difference in talking about how people act and behave. Right? We act like white folks across the board is this one synonymous group, and we get to take blame for everybody from the projects to anybody. As long as they're black, we take blame for them. And as black folks, I'll own up to my people, and it ain't my problem. But I'm just saying, they never translate that to say, you lived as a black person in a white community, but you're not saying what type of socioeconomic community that was. Of course they didn't litter if their houses were, I don't know, pretty much 4 acres apart. Like, depending on where you live, your trash ain't going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So Don Lemon, when I saw that, I was just like, okay. I know Tavis did this last week on our Uncle Ruckus watch, but this dude, it gets
he was the essence. He was the essence of Uncle Ruckus. He did everything short of telling the world that white people smell like lemon pledge.
Exactly.
If he'd have done that, then I'd have been like, you know what? That's him. That is the Uncle Ruckus. And it just got on my nerves so much because it's obvious that he doesn't really care about, you know, the black community, because first of all, he's not talking to the right people. If you have to, if you feel like you need to have a conversation with people about how they're dressing and how that affects, well, then you go into those areas and you talk to the people that need to hear it. Don't go on CNN where you've got a predominantly white audience who already have an idea that that's what black people are like anyway. What did he do really then to validate what they already feel about, you know, the general black population? He's not doing anything but validate. And he's seeking validation from them. That's what I think he's trying to do, is he's trying to get a pat in the back from them and keep his job. And there's nothing more than that to me.
I will say I would respectfully disagree with that point, because when Bill Cosby went to our community to talk to us, we couldn't receive and expect and accept that as criticism. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be well received by us. And I think a lot of times we don't want to be criticized even by our own people. And sometimes we just need to listen.
Okay, well, just so that I'm consistent, just so that I'm consistent, you know I bash Bill Cosby for that. You still can't go on national TV and bash black people thinking that it's going to make black people better. So I thought that Bill Cosby at the time he did that was a bigger presence. And if he's going to talk to the community, he can do that, but he has to also act in a leadership kind of way to know what his presence is. I understand his compassion, and I have nothing but respect for Camille Cosby and all the work that she does as well. But when you are in mainstream media, they use your words, and I mean media across the board, use your words to give an impression of black people. So when you're the big shot and you give the negative impression of black people like it's all black people, then that plays onto the psyche of America.
Well, you know, people bring that up with Bill Cosby, and I say this because the behind that, CNN was with him to do a story on Bill Cosby, and so they were following him around. When he went to the churches or had that town hall meeting, that was him coming and talking to us, which is what I agree. CNN turned around and then released the footage, and they came up with another story behind it. That's what I have a problem with. So I don't fault Mr. Cosby at all for that. I see what you're saying, Ron, but in that instance, that's them being them. And again, we have to be careful. But I'm not mad at anybody if you come to the community and you talk. Yeah, and Daniel, you're right as well that, you know, we don't, and that's something what we call sweeping underneath the rug. So we have to address that, you know. But that's another story. I don't want to get off on that, because that's a whole different topic. I'd rather just stick on the topic. You know, Lehman was wrong. Come to and say it, whether you were black media or whatever, and say it, and then take your lumps there, because that's going to happen. But you just don't go and validate, you know, white media's thoughts about us and who we are. That's why we had the problem we had with the Zimmer case, the stuff that has been going on over the last week. Because people believe in these perceptions, and if we fuel them, no matter if it's Fleming, no matter if it's Sharpton, Jackson, or whoever, they're going to continue to do it, and we have to stop that.
I do have an internet comment that speaks to that point. It says, so newly 17-year-old, because when Trayvon Martin passed, he had just turned, I think his birthday was in February, and he was like 21 days after his birthday, but newly 17-year-old Trayvon was profile stalked, killed, and his killer is free, and we sit around and co-sign racist things said about blacks by racists and blacks chasing ratings. We let racist people tell us not to complain about Trayvon if we were not going to address crimes in Chicago. That's the most stupid thing I've ever heard. Don fell for this racist trick, hook, line, and sinker, the subject, which is Trayvon. He should know better. If he never meets O'Reilly, he should go drop to the floor and lick his boots and then go out and wash his car. That was an internet comment.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I had to finish that in its entirety, because the problem is that the person who wrote this is right. The fact is, he was talking about Trayvon Martin, and then you change that to make it self-hate, and that's what black-on-black crime is. When we start turning stuff to make it self-hate conversation, when it has something to do with something that happened to somebody black, that is kind of how oppression and slavery works to begin with. It's like, change the subject. Forget Trayvon. You guys aren't doing something.
As I tell my clients all the time, I advise you to not say anything that's going to make you look stupid or make your brand look dumb, ignorant. So don't say anything. Just because you ask the question doesn't mean you have to answer it.
Yeah. Right. Well, I was going to say to what the writer said is true. Is that what he did is an example how we, and I'm saying generally because not all of us are like that, but I'm just saying when you see so many of us on these major news stations, it makes it easier for them to deflect and change the subject. Well, you know, Zimmerman this, but what about black-on-black crime? And then it's like, well, we can't allow the subject to be changed because the fact of the matter is black-on-black crime does not make what Zimmerman did in this particular conversation, which we're having, any less painful or any less wrong. So we're not going to change the subject. This is the subject. We'll discuss. We already know we have our issues to deal with, just like white people have their issues to deal with. And that's another problem I have. You do not see white people getting on television saying, hey, our stuff is jacked up, and this is what we need to fix, and we need to stop. We're the only ones that do it.
At Callenbine, we need to start watching 17, 16, 15-year-old little white kids because they are starting to freak out because they are rich, they got every opportunity, and they're losing their minds. What do we need to do? I don't think I've
they
ever
don't
heard
do
that conversation.
That. No, they turn it into a conversation about, well, we need to start looking at mental health.
Well,
no. how do we get from y'all killing kids to mental health? But when it comes to white people killing black people, all of a sudden it turns into
we
black people killing black people. Yes.
Well,
he rendered us all speechless at this point.
It's a hard way to go.
That's a hard aspiration.
I'm trying to channel my inner white person here.
okay, work it out. work it out. We'll fly.
I would like for us to don't just protest and do the kind of stuff that Don Lemon did. If you want to do action, go out and do some action. But just don't keep. I mean, even these protests are a thing of. See, that's what black people do. All they do is that's their mindset. They so used to us protesting, it doesn't bother them at all. You come into Washington, great. We're going to make more money off you because you're going to stay in our hotels and eat in our restaurants. That's the mindset. So somehow we have to readdress it. You know, Don Lemon has to readdress his thoughts. You know, if we want to talk about the community, we have to readdress our thoughts. But we give them ammunition. And that's the thing, what my black-on-black crime is. We have to reevaluate what we did, and we can't be out here judging each other in the public eye. It's nuts. It's
right.
Crazy. You don't validate us.
And that's why I don't even judge protesting. I think since we have made no headway, we don't have the answer to the question. I think you have to hit everybody on every front. We need to do our job in media. People need to do their job on the ground. And one of the things that's effective in Occupy Wall Street proved this. They change the conversation without striking up an agenda. And I hear people all the time say, we need leaders and we need people to stand up. And I'm like, I think history has shown us that our leaders get shot every time we identify one. So the issue is to make sure that we do something. Don't just sit back and not do anything at all.
Yeah, like why would you say anything? You know, just do. You know, when you give somebody, you know, that's like you're giving your playbook to the other team, and then they're going to know what your plays are. Just do. Everyone can organize their own and just do.
And that's what Bill O'Reilly and those guys do. They're like, tell us what y'all going to do.
Yeah.
It's like, here's what we're going to do. We're about to take a break.
You're about to find out. You're going to learn today.
That's right. You're going to learn today. You know what? We should have, not to belittle the open letter, but we should just went in on that. All right, we're going to take a break. And do a preview of Oh Boy and go into Spike Lee next. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. Join us in the chat room. Join us on the line, 909-265-9189. We'll be back.
It's a phone. Hello? Hello? Hey, tell me why I'm in here. Look at me. No.
of Donna Hawthorne was discovered, the prime suspect, Joseph Doucette, the victim's former husband and father of the surviving child.
Your father's been missing for 20 years. If I could somehow bring him here, do you think you could forgive him?
I could try.
What happened to him?
He showed up last night.
I need your help, Joe.
I haven't seen the guy in like 20 years.
Who are you?
If you were trying to find your daughter and clear your name, I could help you.
If you would like to see your daughter alive again, answer two questions. One, why did I imprison you for 20 years? And two, why did I let you go?
To go.
You don't have a choice. And whoever you are, I will find you.
I only run this place, all right?
You might want to think about what you're doing here.
I've been thinking about it for the last 20 years.
If you don't mind, would you pull that bass up a little bit more, Mom? And pull up them drums a little high. I want you them drums kicking. Kicking so hard, you can feel it way back in Mississippi.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. We just wanted to play a little preview of Oh Boy. It's not a remake. He doesn't like to call it that. It's kind of a adaptation or something of the movie Oh Boy. I don't know if you've seen the previews of that finesse for Oh Boy, but
it looks like
you did what?
I said I actually got the promo 2 weeks ago, and I put it on Facebook for everybody to see. I'm looking forward to it, but I won't get on the whole Spike Lee topic. I'll let everybody else get their turn before I say my piece.
No, we're going to Spike Lee right now. We're on with Lavinia, Finesse, and Daniel on. And a little later on, we're going to play a preview of just some comments from Daniel for Fruitvale Station, which is out in theaters right now. And at some point, we've got to talk about
that
movie.
Yeah.
We,
and I'm going to catch a flag to that. I just want to let you know, as soon as you get to the Spike Lee, I'm going to catch a flag.
For Spike Lee?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to catch a flag. Not because of Spike Lee.
Well, okay.
The rest of the black folks.
Oh yeah, I'm catching the flag for that too. Now, Spike Lee is using Kickstarter for a new project. Oh, by the way,
I'm gonna catch a flag for that. That's two flags. Oh yeah, I'm gonna catch a flag for that.
Okay. All right. So he has upcoming projects, and filmmaker Spike Lee recently announced that he would be launching a Kickstarter campaign aimed at raising $1.25 million for his new movie. This was written in an article, with Lee's considerable wealth has made him a target for critics who said that he should use his own cash in his next film. So The Smoking Gun reported that Lee's mansion, his home, is a Spanish mansion and is listed on the National Historic Registry. Is worth like $30 million, and his production company, 40 Acres and a Mule, resides, and it was purchased for less than $500,000. But Lee responded in an interview that the criticism is BS, and he didn't use the word BS. He said the founders of Kickstarter told him, Spike, Kickstarter's for everybody. They didn't tell me, they did tell me that there was going to be some kind of flack. So here's what Spike Lee's quote was. Here's what his comments. What people are missing is that the people who are pledging money have never been on Kickstarter before. Most haven't even heard of it. A large percentage of that is black folks who have never heard of Kickstarter. So that complaint that I'm hurting someone else is not true. Plus, I've always been a champion of young filmmakers. Why have he says that's why he's taught at NYU for the past 15 years. You know the phrase, haters gonna hate. We're not worrying about that. We have a goal, and the people hating don't like his films anyway, so F them is what Spike Lee said. So I will let Finesse go in first since you're going to yell on this one.
Well, I don't – I'm a huge Spike Lee fan. You know that. You know that I – you know, one of my biggest things I've achieved was interviewing Spike. I haven't met him in person yet, but just to talk to him. Well, I did meet him once, but I didn't talk to him. Take that back. But I'm a big supporter of independent films, also all independent artists. I disagree with using Kickstarter, and that's not – it doesn't take rocket science to understand what Kickstarter is for. So needing an explanation, Mr. Lee, come on now, really? You can raise the money, and I think what's going to happen is no matter what people say, Kickstarter eventually will knock out the those that really need the money. We had this discussion a few weeks ago with Jenks Morton, who is a wonderful filmmaker, makes movies with that makes you think, and he raised the same question. You know, needed money for my project. I don't have those kind of people to reach out to. So my question is to Spike, you have those resources. You have distributors that will give you money. How is it now that you want to come out and join Kickstarter to get people to take their attention away from those who really need the money and get their films done to you? So that's my biggest gripe. Kickstarter was for supposedly for the independent filmmaker and producers. It wasn't ever supposed to be for Hollywood. And it Spike and people are making this think about it now, but Spike's not the first one. There have been others that have done it, and I've voiced the same concern. So, you know, that's the way it is. I don't know where Kickstarter is going to go from here, but pretty soon it will not be for the independent artists.
Well, they have Indiegogo or whatever it's called.
That's a couple of other ones. And that's crap, too.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them. Now,
yeah, I just they're crap.
Raphael Sadiq will be producing the movie, the music for whatever the movie is, but it's supposed to be some suspense thriller. Lavinia, did you hear anything about what was going on with Spike Lee?
I mean, I heard about it and his explanation for getting money through Kickstarter was that I guess that well, he put some of his money into his past project and he was doing Kickstarter before there was a Kickstarter. I don't know. I have pretty much little understanding of how you get money, where it gets from, and how he runs his stuff. So I guess I'm just going to have to take a zero.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with this just because I've seen a longer explanation from Spike opposed to one that I read. But, you know, he has been teaching NYU film students for 15 years. He did talk to them because they keep, that's the biggest thing about Hollywood is how did you raise money to fund your projects? And he did say it's like doing music, and Finesse talked about this before. There was a time back in the days that MTV wouldn't play your video if it wasn't a $500,000 or, you know, $250,000 video. So he said if your film, he said it's easier to raise money for a $10 million film than it is for a $1 million film. And I don't know what that's all about, but he said it really is a difficult thing. And I can tell you that as a strategist politically, when you do fundraisers, it is easier to do a fundraiser that is for $500 and above than it is to do them for $50. So, and I know that for a fact. I tell people that for years, that a $1,500 fundraiser is easy to get people to than it is anything like a few hundred dollars. So what he's saying is just generally he's trying to get this – he wants to make like an independent film, but he just doesn't want to take it out of mainstream. He said the thing about Kickstarter is that if he does not raise the money does go back to you. So if he doesn't hit the goal, you won't get charged on your credit cards or anything if you pledge $5 or $10. It doesn't matter. You don't. You can. The most you can pledge is $10,000. Daniel, I'm sorry. Did you hear anything about?
Well, I caught some of it. So Spike got his hand caught in the cookie jar for the welfare for cookie jar for filmmakers, huh?
Yeah. Yes.
No. No. That is just hating. That's finesse hating. You're saying that he got his hand caught in the cookie jar. What he's attempting to do, and we matter of fact, I should read on farther because if you didn't know, when Veronica Mars was canceled, the TV show, they went on Kickstarter to raise $6 million.
And what did I say? I just said I disagree with that too. I disagree with these people have money and have access to money. Independent filmmakers and producers. They don't, and that's why Kickstarter was started, for people to pour into them. But now this money is going to start being funneled to these guys. So let me ask this question. So, and here's from a legal standpoint. You invest your money into a film. Do you get anything back, or are they going to lower ticket prices? Because they're obviously not getting money from the places they were getting funded before, and the answer would be no to both questions. This is why I'm against it. See, people, they don't look beyond that.
Well, it depends on, I guess, your level of funding, too, what you get out of it. Now, Victoria Rowell is also launching a Kickstarter campaign for a soap opera spoof that she's developing. So a lot of people are going out there doing
Kickstarter.
Well, Spike got some for me already. So filmmaker Steven Sonnenberg dropped
$10,000.
You
ain't got to go on Kickstarter and take it from anybody
else. Don't get muted. I'm just saying. I'm just kind of throwing out the news.
I'm just saying. I'm catching your flag. I'm just saying.
I know you. You did say that early. You did say it early. Now, filmmaker Steven Sonnenberg gave Spike $10 of his own cash for this venture, giving him the reward. Like if you go to $10,000 level, you get dinner, a seat at the Knicks game with Spike. Sonnenberg released a. Okay, smart guy. Sonnenberg released a statement about why he's supporting Lee. Now I'm only saying this because finesse is just being finesse. But this is not me. This is not finesse. This is somebody who gave $10,000. So this is why he said he did it. And he's a filmmaker himself. He said, as I was attempting to find my own voice and place in the film world with three independent American filmmakers in particular that attracted my attention and expanded my idea of what is possible. That's David Lynch, Jim Jarmusch, and Spike Lee. He said, these were distinctive new voices, and the freedom and success that they represented was liberating and energizing. These were shoulders I would try to stand on that I would be proud to stand So he said, certain filmmakers exist outside of traditional parameters of criticism. Their points of view and body of work makes decisions about individual films interesting, but ultimately irrelevant because each project is merely a chapter in a very long book that must and will be acknowledged and appreciated for its breadth, ambition, and contributions in the art of cinema. For me, Spike Lee is one of those filmmakers, and that's filmmaker Steven Sonnenberg, who donated to the campaign. So
that's great. I agree with that,
I wanted
too.
To read his quote.
I don't agree. That's great. I agree with that. I'm a Spike fan. But, again, they can get money. He could have went to Sonnenberg himself and got the money. Why do a Kickstarter and then have other people? This is for independent artists. That's all I'm saying. Spike has the means. That's all I'm saying. Spike has the means, and you're going to be looking at legal issues where people invested this money and they don't get anything in return. You know, Spike is basically saying it's the haves and the have-nots.
Okay.
Need this money.
Yeah,
well,
you're saying he's getting nothing in return. What do you get when you give $5 to a political campaign? I mean,
I'm going to tell you. One, I wouldn't do that either. So you're talking to the wrong person. I don't believe in any of that. When stuff is created for the have-nots, let it be for the have-nots because they have their voice. There's some great independent films that will never be seen
because they don't get the push. They don't have the funding to do to get out there. They already don't have media backing, especially black media when it comes to black films or black authors. You know, so that's the only reason why I'm against it. I have nothing wrong with Spike Lee. I have absolutely have nothing but the utmost respect for him. But I don't like this, and it's not just Spike Lee. Let me clarify. It's not just Spike Lee. I don't like anybody who has access to means to put up their own films to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, like the guys.
Well, can I say
Scrubs,
something real quick?
They've done that. Yes, go ahead. I was going to bring you in. Go ahead.
Can I just say, well, I mean, I think part of his reason, too, he said that, you know, by him going on there, you're bringing attention to Kickstarter. Well, to be honest, if we weren't discussing this right now, I wouldn't have known anything about it. And so
right.
Now that I'm looking at the website myself and I see that there are other projects, so perhaps him being on there will give other people, those other people who have projects, an opportunity to be opened up to other donors that wouldn't have known that they were out there had they not heard the name Spike Lee and wanted to go to see what was going on. So just because he's on there collecting money from people don't mean that everybody that's going on there is just funneling their money into Spike Lee. I mean, you can choose what projects you want to go into. So, and on that front, I'm not mad at him about that. I mean, you get money where
right.
you can get it so you can support your projects. He has his – didn't he teach at NYU? So he had
15
grants
years.
That he used to put toward – exactly. So he developed grants and things, funding, so that he could help other filmmakers along the way as well. So it's not like he's just on there collecting food stamps, you know.
Right.
He's not doing, like,
right.
movie-making food stamps and just, you know, building these projects and not giving back in any way. He is giving back somehow, and then the exposure is good for the website and to the other filmmakers who are on that site.
Right. And for all you young filmmakers, the issue is always this. Do you have a film that you want to sell to somebody, or do you need financing to get your film done? And so that is where Kickstarter is, so that you can actually get money to finish your film, and that is the more important part of filmmaking. Spike did say if he does not make his gold, he'll go back to traditional ways of funding a Hollywood his movies if he can, but depending on the plot and the type of movie, you know, there's some things that you can't say. And an interesting story, we've had the over the weekend Northeast Wine and Jazz Fest in this area, and I spoke to Chief Lyons. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but Chief Lyons from the Onondaga Nation is partnering with Leonardo DiCaprio, and he said that he just came on board, and they're doing a history of the Iroquois Nation, but he said, we are going to tell it from our perspective, like we are going to tell the story. So he's really happy about him. Actually supposed to meet with him this week to talk about it a little bit, but that is kind of off-marketing branding where somebody can say Leonardo DiCaprio can go to traditional funding and get his movies funded, but he won't be able to get one talking about Native Americans from the Native Americans' perspective because Hollywood probably wouldn't try to hear him. So depending on what the movie topics are and what the direction of the movie is how Hollywood funded movies as well. We have some internet comments. One says, I'd rather see a $250, $1 million Spike movies than one $250 million Lone Ranger movie.
Mm-mm.
And another one says, while on the one
was
hand,
the Lone Ranger
I do
that bad?
I don't know. I didn't see it, but apparently.
I haven't heard anything good about it at all.
I missed the chance to review it, so I can't tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't heard anything good about it at all. One says, while on the other hand, I do have an issue with people who already have money using crowdsource to fund their projects. I have to say that nobody complained when other people did it, then they kept their mouth shut. But then when it's Spike Lee, everyone wants to say something. His movies have contributed more to public discourse on racism than anyone else, and they said in a demonic cesspool ever could. He doesn't like the film industry, apparently. He said, I'd rather see an actual filmmaker do a good film than see a bad so-called filmmaker put out more recycled, unimaginative bull. That's what that one said. And another one just said, it's funny how Adam Carolla crowdfunding effort whom he's also a fan of, has gotten no reaction, but he's this person is donating to both. It says all the haters need to be saying, forget the unfunny, uncreative Hollywood blinks who don't, who this hurts the most. Hollywood and the record industry can take their systems and ram them up there. This person got a little angry at the end. But anyway, So they're just saying, take off the traditional funding and do something else. So this is just bringing attention to non-traditional funding, because I would never personally go look at trying to fund a Hollywood movie, but Kickstarter does allow you to. I know the Angela Davis movie, I went to their Kickstarter, and just other places that I knew that was on Kickstarter, and just kind of watch those guys. And what they give away is these DVDs and signed autographed DVDs. So if you donate $5 to it, you'll get like the first run of the DVD and it's signed, or you'll get something, some autographed memorabilia and those kind of things. Go ahead.
I did do the Angela Davis. There were a couple that I did.
I have done,
but anybody that can get their own money, I would not do.
Okay. Well, yeah, because that's a relative thing to me to say if they can get their money. I think it's the subject matter. I think we complain that some people aren't doing certain type of subject matter, and they know they can't get that subject matter funded, so they never even try. So if you're going to take a risk, sometimes you might have to go to non-traditional means to get money, because Spike did talk about running out of money for Malcolm, because the studio would only let him do, they think everybody's attention span is bad, so they would only let him do about 2 hours. Malcolm was 3 hours long, Malcolm X as the movie was, but he had to go out and get funding to finish the movie because the studio wouldn't give him any more.
He said he's done that before.
For
Get on the Bus, it was totally funded by his peers, Michael Jackson, Prince, Oprah, Wesley Snipes, Denzel Washington,
Right, he can't make those phone calls. You're right about that.
That's all I'm saying. And, again, not just him, all of them.
Yeah. But it is. I also agree that it is bringing sight to, that Indiegogo and all these other guys who are creating most of these crowdsource funding places. If you don't hit your goal, they don't give you any of the money. So I know Aaron McGruger was trying to fund the Uncle Ruckus movie. I don't know if it ever made its goal, but I know it was out there for a while as well. And we reported on it when it did.
Yeah.
But
and
I want to remind everyone.
And as much as I love Aaron McGruger, the same way. I just didn't
think that
I
he should have done that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's good for low-budget stuff. I think it's tough to get low-budget stuff funded. It's probably difficult. Well, that would be my opinion, but...
Because here's the mindset. If it's cheaply made, then it can't be good. That's what people think.
Exactly. And that's what Spike said. He said, if you're asking under a certain amount of money, they're saying if it's cheaply made, you can't make good independent films.
And all I got to do is say, look at Friday.
You got that right. Friday's hilarious. All right. So I want to remind you, listen to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. And welcome and thank you for tuning in to our show every week. Hey, you can join in on this next topic. We are going to talk about Jay-Z or Sean Carter. We give government on this program for some reason. Sean Carter.
Before you get into that, can I give a special shout-out? Kai is not here today, but her friend Kelly, who I grew up with, Syracuse.
Oh, Kelly's there.
And she listens to the show. She sent me a message talking about, I hear you. She called me Big Head. So what's up, Kelly? I just want to say hi. You call me Big Head.
I want to say what's up to Kelly, too, because you know what? We'll take a quick break, because I want to actually play a little bit of just some kind of assessment of the movie. What was the movie? Fruitvale Station? Yeah, that came out. So we're going to play a little bit of that. We're going to come back and talk about Jay-Z and Harry Belafonte. What's up, Kelly? And Kai is going to join us. She was running late, so she sent me a note saying she'll catch us when she gets
there.
That's your what?
School teacher. My special teacher, my homeschool.
All right. You know what? I think that Daniel resents anybody talking about other women while his track is on. You know, Maya's on.
Maya's on. Oh, we got shut up.
Yeah, we got shut up. Daniel, you all right, man?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. See,
basking.
When we play
I'm
Maya,
basking.
We know that mellows you out.
I'm basking, baby.
You know, we know that. We know that happens. We'll be back after this message. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. Actually, it's not a message. We're going to play a review. So we'll be back right after this.
Welcome to Esprinet News, review of Fruitvale Station. This is a movie starring Michael B. Jordan, Melly Diaz, and produced by Forrest Whitaker, directed by Ryan Coogler. Daniel Woodson is reviewing this for Esprinet News. So tell us, Daniel, about the character development.
Character development, they went a long way to slowly develop. A lot of his attitudes were based on that whole street mentality, but at the same time realizing that I've got a family now that I have to tend for, and I've got to get out of that, quote-unquote, that life in order to provide for my family. Showed a very loving relationship between him and his daughter. I mean, I think any father that has a daughter could relate so, so well to that. I would venture to say this would be a good father and daughter movie for you as well. The relationship with him and his, and of course this is a biracial couple, black and Hispanic, so it went to, I'm not going to say great lengths, but enough to show that there was a difference in their cultures, but they were equally accepting of one another. It seemed to be a little bit of friction, but it still was loving and respectful. I would say they did a great job also showing that regardless of the struggle that they had, they did love one another. Even with his girlfriends, the contention that they had between one another.
Thank you, Daniel. That was Fruitvale Station character development. Hey, we have more coming up on the review of Fruitvale Station, which is playing in theaters now. Go check it out.
All right, we're back on Black Crime. You know, you can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. I almost forgot the number. We're on with Finesse, and we have Daniel Woodson on. And now we're going to just go into Jay-Z and the Harry Belafonte. Now, this is not a real Black on Black Crime. Lavinia, she just dropped, but she'll be back, hopefully, to talk about this one, because I know she's going to yell about this one as well. I didn't forget about her. I was trying not to make it noticeable that her phone call dropped. She's busy. See, you were trying to blow me out the water, wasn't you?
That's right. That's my commissioner.
Finesse is like, I lost the ally. What happened?
That's right. I got to keep my ally.
Harry Belafonte made a statement to the Hollywood Reporter accusing both Jay-Z and his wife Beyonce for turning their back on the social responsibility. Jay-Z fired back at Belafonte on a song called Nickels and Dimes from his new CD. But Jay-Z recently made a statement in response to what he thought was unfair. So here is Jay-Z's comment about Harry Belafonte. He says, "Yeah, I'm offended by that, by the statement, because first of all, this is going to sound arrogant, but my presence is charity. Just because of who I am, just like Obama provides hope. Whether he does anything, the hope that he provides for a nation and outside of America is enough. You know what I'm saying. Just being who he is, You're the first black president. If he speaks on any issue or anything, he should be left alone. No, I'm not going to say anything bad about him. Of course, we want to challenge him to do better, but Belafonte went about it the wrong way. The way he did it within the media and then big upped Bruce Springsteen, it was like, you know, you just sent the wrong message, like all the way around, is what he said. You just big up the white guy against me on white media. He said, I'm not saying that in a racial way. I'm just saying what it is, the fact of what it was. That's what JC's quote. So he
what
just
the,
didn't like the
what
fact.
The, what?
Yeah, okay, so here's what happened. Harry Belafonte said that Bruce Springsteen does more for black folks than Jay-Z and Beyonce does, and it's almost like Bruce Springsteen is black. That's why he was wrong. So Jay-Z was really offended by that, pretty much his issue with Harry Belafonte. Okay.
Yeah, you can go first.
I can give I don't know if I have
enough energy to deal with this mess today.
Okay, I was going to say, that's why I did this to close it out, because I do have Harry Belafonte's response. But Daniel, if you want to go first before I give Harry Belafonte's response to Jay-Z, to that statement, you feel free.
Well, you heard of the God complex. That sounds as close as you can get to one.
Yeah, he didn't come off really well on that, did he?
Not at all.
You know,
and I show up, you know what I'm saying, in the cut, right? You know, I'm Jay-Z, I'm over.
Everybody loves
me. I'm from Marcy, you know what I'm saying? I came
yeah.
up just because I'm in the building.
And I understand what he said, but he did say that wrong. Like he, yeah. Anyway, so Harry Belafonte's response to Jay-Z was this. I would be hard-pressed to tell Mr. Jay-Z what to do with his time and his fortune. All I can be is critical of what he's not doing. This conflict that has emerged was not for me as a direct attack on Jay-Z or Beyonce. I was at a press conference in Switzerland. Finesse, don't say anything. Just the question was raised by the international press. They asked me about artists and social engagement of the past based on a film that we were watching and how artists responded earlier in life to how they respond today. And I made the observation that the highly powerful voice that our community has, Black America has, there is so much celebrity power that it is sad to see that the collective of that celebrity power has not been applied to bringing consciousness to inequities that we face. Now, artists that heard that response in a very strong way, you'll find Jamie Foxx, you'll find Chuck D of Public Enemy, you'll find that any number of highly profile people have taken that critique and called for a meeting. We've sat down, we've talked, and I will tell you now that these people that I've just mentioned are officially behind the Dream Defenders, and they're the guys who are protesting in Florida at the government mansion or wherever they are. He said they prepared to come down. They prepared to perform. I would hope that Jay-Z would not take personally what was said because it was not said about him personally. Having said that, I would like to say Jay-Z and Beyonce, my heart is wide open and filled with nothing but hope that the promise that we can sit down and have a one-on-one and let's understand each other rather than try to answer these questions and these nuances in public. That was from Harry Belafonte after Jay-Z's response. So, Finesse,
well,
I know you want to
well,
go.
I was raised that you respect your mature adults, and when they said something, it was either a flaw in your character or to draw attention to something that you may be missing. So I never had a problem with what Mr. Belafonte did, although I always say you don't have to answer a question when you're out in public. And yeah, maybe Jay-Z's right, he could have came and talked to him, but
That's respect. For Jay-Z to even do that record, you know, that was disrespectful. But I like the way Mr. Belafonte came back, and he said this, and it was said in a way where it got everybody's attention. And it got Jay-Z
right.
and Beyonce, it got Jay-Z and Beyonce's attention, because you wouldn't see them out in the forefront now doing the things that they're doing now. So Mr. Belafonte did exactly what he was supposed to do. It got the kind of reaction it was supposed to get, and now you just move forward.
And like I always say, you have to respect your elders. You know, we didn't really go in on this before because I don't even like talking about Harry Belafonte. He put in way too much work, and those
mm-hmm.
guys get to have their opinion. Even when they're criticizing us for being younger, we have to just kind of respect that and not feel like we can take a shot at our elders who put in work so that we can actually be here. So I'm always really respectful of that. And then saying that, Jay-Z did, there's a picture of Harry Belafonte and Jay-Z together in 2010. It's not like they have not crossed paths. They were actually sitting there laughing, talking. So it's not like they don't know each other. He was just saying, he was asked a question. Jay-Z could have picked up the phone like Harry Belafonte could have, but he was just saying generically that artists have a responsibility, and they're the biggest ones on the planet at the time that I guess he was asked the question in international press that they had an interest in Jay-Z and Beyonce. Daniel, did you want to chime in on that?
Well, I think a lot of young people have missed the boat when it comes to the sacrifices of our elders, and as I think we spoke on the program before, he did this being Harry Belafonte at a time where he could have lost his career and everything. But he still
oh, right.
was in the forefront, made sure that he was heard and stood alongside of some of the greats in the civil rights struggle. So it seems that's maybe 40 years ago, but you know a lot of these folks are so young that they don't realize what sacrifices were made on their behalf before. So they speak in ignorance, unfortunately.
Right. And again, Jay-Z did not do a good job even in making that point. Lavinia, do you have anything that you want to add to the Harry Belafonte, Jay-Z? I'm not even calling it a saga. It's not conflict. I think they're both doing it out of love. It's just that one's expressing it in one way and the other one is not. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was agreeing with everyone else that, you know, when it comes to dealing with Harry Belafonte and like, you know, there's our struggle now is nothing compared to what they did. The work that we're doing now is nothing compared to the work that they've done. So there's got to be a level of respect that is owed to them. And, you know, I respect what accomplishments that Jay-Z has made, but whoever said that he's got somewhat of a God complex, I agree with that 100%. Some days he just needs to learn how to fall back. He doesn't have to have something to say all the time, but, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully they'll just work that out, and then it'll be done.
Right.
Stop calling yourself Jehovah.
Please.
that would probably help. Now, we have a couple of Internet comments. One says, I can understand Jay's point, but Harry has been fighting this fight a long time, but to say that Bruce is doing a better job than Jay, if true, is just not proper. Yeah, you should not really compare white folks to black folks saying that they're more black than somebody who's black. I kind of agree with that comment. And another one says, Jay-Z obviously felt guilty as charged, which is why he felt the need to reply. If he felt that he was all of the things that Belafonte called him and others, calling him out for being, then he would have just been a man and not compared himself to President Obama. Nobody would do that in this situation. But President would just brush it off his shoulders and keep doing what he's doing. No need to respond. So let your actions speak for you. But Belafonte obviously struck a nerve inside him, and there it is. That's what the Internet comments say.
I guess he couldn't follow his own lyrics of get that dirt off your shoulders.
He did. He sure did. He should have just followed it.
And right. here's the other thing. Mr. Belafonte and Mr. Obama, President Obama, they're friends as well. So
mm-hmm.
I'm quite sure, and Jay-Z has to stop this. Now this is like the second or third conflict I've heard where he's dropped
President Obama. We know you're friends, but that's not going to always save you, and I'm quite sure President Obama said, you know what, Mr. Belafonte has a point, Jay. Maybe you do need to do some more. You need to look at things from a different way because, you know, no sooner than the record drops in this conflict, now Jay-Z's with the Trayvon. He's come out and spoke on a few other issues. I'm like, man, now we just need you to hook up with Public Enemy and do a record.
And do a little something with Chuck.
Yeah. Make my day. And stop calling yourself Jehovah. I'm straight.
Yeah, and that's the key. I think he's taking it to heart, but you can't compare yourself to the president. I don't think anybody can really do that. So, also in Harry Belafonte news, he also on Friday called for Florida's governor to listen to protesters. He actually went to Florida on Friday in the protest to examine those self-defense laws. Protesters have occupied the Capitol since July 15th. That's 3 days after Zimmerman was found not guilty of second-degree murder of Trayvon Martin, who he killed. The group wants Scott to call a special session on Stand Your Ground, but he refused. So 86-year-old Harry Belafonte went down, joined the protest, and just said that it makes my autumn heart dance like it was spring just to see the protesters standing up. They've been there for 11 straight days to that point. And he said that, you know, we got to be active. And so if the 86-year-old guy can go down and be active, I think everybody can do a little something. I think that's the moral of the story with Jay-Z. He was saying, do something. He wasn't telling you what to do, but he just said, do something. I think that was it. Now, in the world of...
With the president.
Say it again.
He don't want that friendship to end with the president. He'll cut that off. Michelle and Harvey like, hey, we don't need this.
Well, you know, he's just, I think when you see the president as an image, it's one thing. It is true that if the president speaks about something, it'll draw attention to it. But I don't always think that it's the president's issue to jump in the middle of stuff either. So when they talked about the Trayvon Martin case, I also said, you have to remember, federal can still press charges, so the president had to be careful on speaking. So just as a matter of public record, I want to say this again, the Matthew Shepard, James Byrd Hate Crime Prevention Act was signed by President Obama in October 28, 2009, Public Law 111-84. And this is what it says. The Department of Justice has the power to investigate and prosecute bias-motivated violence by providing the DOJ the jurisdiction over crimes of violence where the perpetrator has selected a victim because of the person's actual or perceived race, religion, national origin, gender, whatever. Now, they're going to probably prosecute under an act that President Obama put into law. So he had to remain quiet and let the Department of Justice do their job. So when you don't know laws, you don't know what the president is doing. And I think he's just kind of waiting his time out. So good job, President Obama, for signing that into law. Now there's recourse for George Zimmerman because in his defense, they said they targeted him because he was black and black people were committing crimes. So he looked and went after him. So now that there's violence and you targeted him because he's black, you're going to get powers. You're going to get, you know, prosecuted federally. Just wanted to say that. And I just want to say you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're going to do a couple of quick World of Entertainment news stories just to get you updated in the news world. Nick Moms has announced the fall premiere of Instant Moms, which is his first originally scripted comedy series produced by Tia Mowry Hardick. It's a half-hour series that features Mowry, and she's going to carpool and all that stuff. She has kids. Her mother is Shirley Roth, who's co-starring. And the series is picked up for 13 episodes and will premiere on in its primetime Nick Mom block of Nick Jr. Channel and Encore episodes at Nick at Night. So Tia Mowry has a new show coming out. Loretta Devine and Sally Richardson will join, I guess it's Essie Morales, to star in an indie drama called Teachers, which will be directed by Gary Wheeler. It's a script that's penned by the person who wrote Pastor Brown, which also starred Sally Richardson. So That's coming out. Divine will play a guidance counselor. Sally Richardson will be the principal. I'm just laughing because Sally Richardson couldn't have been my principal in high school. But anyway, Kiki Palmer has
to be mine.
I
don't know. I tried to
speed past that because of YouTube. Because I'm like, Sally Richardson as the principal?
Man, I'm sorry, Miss Richardson. I won't live.
Paddle me.
Wait. Okay. Could you deal with her as your teacher any better than that?
I don't think so. She can be my teacher. She can be my guidance counselor. She can be my principal, art teacher. It don't make a difference to me.
See, you see why Vanessa's in timeout. So we would definitely have Sally Richardson couldn't be nobody's teacher. But anyway, she's playing
she's
a
mine.
Teacher. I would never miss a day of class.
I like homeschooling.
Oh, gosh. Here we go. All right. Kiki Palmer has signed up to star in a Drew Barrymore-produced horror film entitled Animal. It's also, you know, it's kind of like the regular bloodthirsty predator, friends stranded, unfamiliar territory kind of thing, Lock Cabin, the Hollywood blueprint for a horror movie. But also in that with her is Eve.
Okay,
just in case you want to know. I know. I don't know what to say, who's getting axed first. But Kiki Palmer is starring, so.
Ain't going to be Kiki.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen. It won't be Kiki. So we could just kind of count Eve out on this one.
Well, she got 40 minutes to live.
She got a little time. Okay, well, yeah, if she's co-starring, they got to get their money's worth out of her. Now,
yeah, they can't have two black women surviving. That's not going to happen.
Man, okay. Vanessa, we talked about this because it's going to premiere. Animal will receive limited theater release in 2014, but it'll be headed to the Chiller Horror Cable TV Network. We have so many cable networks, it's not even funny, on Chiller. All right. Oprah on OWN, speaking of OWN, Oprah Winfrey Network announced its premiere of its new series for 2014, the summer series of Oprah's Next Chapter. Tyler Perry's For Better or Worse is moving from, where are they now, TNT?
Who?
TBS. For Better or Worse was at TBS, but now it's going to be on OWN.
They're going to be on OWN. They were on TBS, and now they're moving.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep. September 18th, they're going to be on OWN, and all new episodes of Six Little McGee's start September 7th, Oprah's Life Class, Super Soul Sundays, and, okay, get this. It's prime time. Deion Sanders has a docu-series premiering on OWN.
What did he do to get that?
For the guy who's been getting a lot of bad press and who has a lot of bad press, Deion Sanders has a docu-series on OWN. Now, here's what the series is about. It is a docu-series that centers on his strives to keep his crazy and hectic family life in balance. They're doing a reality show.
He should have stayed married. Anyway,
exactly.